We're going to look at some of the specific verbs in Psalm 37 as we go through this morning. I'll start us with prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be in these words, that you would help us see what it is to live in life here and now in relationship with God. Help us experience what that's like with all of our senses. And we pray that this psalm will lead us into that experience of walking and living in a relationship with God. Because we all need it, Lord, whether we have on our minds some of the issues of the day or our own stories and aspects of our own stories, we all need to know that we can walk closely with God in life. We pray you'll help us do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in my bedroom, and it's close to the kids' bedtime, my daughter's bedtime, definitely, and she walks in and flops down on my bed. And I ask her, have you brushed your teeth? She giggles at me. So then I put my finger right here on her neck, at the collarbone, because that's a tickle spot, and she starts to laugh and tense up so I can't get my finger in there. So then I poke the belly, another tickle spot, and she tightens her whole body up, and she's laughing. And I say, do you want me to stop? And if she says yes, I'm going to stop, because I want her to think that when she tells a guy stop, I want her to expect him to stop. I want her to expect to be respected. And she says stop, so I do. But then very quickly she says, go ahead. And I poke the belly again, and she laughs. And then she says, tickle me. And I tickle her neck, and she laughs really hard, and we laugh. What better way is there to go to bed than laughing? In this nightly routine, what am I doing? I'm delighting in my daughter, and she's delighting in that time spent with me. The Psalms are like verses of a poem or verses of a song, and verse 4 has two stanzas. In the opening stanza of verse 4, the psalmist says, take delight in the Lord. The opening verse commands us not to fret, not to worry about the success evil people seem to have, though the wicked may prosper. Then verse 9 says they're going to be cut off from God. The blessing comes to those who wait on the Lord. Well, after we get through that opening verse, do not fret, do not be envious, then beginning in verse 3, there's a series of commands. We have the do nots, then we have a series of commands, things we should do. Things we should do so that we're living in faith. It begins, trust in the Lord, and then take delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord. These positive commands set our daily approach to life, our actions, our attitudes, our posture toward people. For me, a really wonderful entry point into this is delight in the Lord. That's a way to step into the deeper call of God in this psalm. When my daughter and I are deep into tickle belly laughing, it's easy for her to then trust me. She's more willing later to be still before me when I read her the Bible, maybe read from one of the books in the Chronicles of Narnia or her favorite, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I read all that stuff to her. She falls to sleep in her bed, feeling happy, safe, surrounded by a family who loves her. If delighting in my daughter involves some tickle time, or in my middle son throwing a football around, or my older son going to a movie together, if that's how we have delight together, what does it look like to delight in the Lord? We hear such a thing read from the Psalms, but what does that actually look like in my real life or your real life? Well, here are some experiences I've had where I knew I was delighting in the Lord. First, a sunrise. Now, that after the week we've had, this is going to take some imagination. This might be a stretch, so just try to imagine a different place than here. But a sunrise on a cool morning that is going to become a warm, sunny day. At dawn, the dark of night gives way to shadows, early gray light. And then after that, the muted colors of the early morning burst into glorious golds, greens, and blues as the sun comes over the horizon and breaks through the leaves in the forest and the treetops. If I'm outside and have been for a while, walking on a morning like that, I see God in the awakening colors. I hear God in the sweet chatter of birdsong. I feel God on my skin in the cool, crisp air as it washes over my arms and my face. In that moment, I know I'm delighting in God. Okay, another very different example, again from my own experience. This comes when I'm stressing out because I'm right in the middle of trying to overcome something very difficult. At first, I don't heed the initial verses of the psalm where they say, do not fret, do not worry. I fret, I worry a lot. I should be praying. Stress, challenges, obstacles, that should just be a doorway to walk right into the prayer room. But I go to the worry room and the talk room and the chat room and the complain room and the gripe room and the anxiety room, and I end up there. But then someone will lead me to a verse or a word from Scripture or a section from the Bible, or I stumble upon it. Sometimes I get to it because I'm doing the opposite of what someone has told me. But God uses a number of ways to bring me to the Bible right in the middle of the challenge. And what happens is this: that Bible passage in the middle of the difficulty helps me see God. It hits me, and I want to read it over and over and over, that passage, because I've met God in the words. So then everyone I bump into, I have to read that passage to them. This has happened recently. I've been dealing with some challenges, and Colossians 3 has become like a spiritual lifeline. It says, beginning in verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And I meet God in that. I meet God in His Word, and the pressures that life has tried to impose on me begin to melt away. I delight in my Father who is there for me, always making me new. So these are some ways that I delight in God. An early morning nature walk, meeting God in the Bible, in the Word. And to this I could add the bliss and grace of rest. When I get genuine good rest, I know that's a precious gift from God and I meet God in it. Or songs that bring peace. I'll listen to them over and over. Certain songs by David Crowder or Mandisa. And if you look at the history on my computer, what's he been doing? I've been listening to this song over and over and over again, meeting God in the rhythm and the tune and the words. The relationship becomes tangible, and I know what it means when I say, I delight in the Lord, God my Father, my Savior, the Son Jesus Christ, and the ever-present Holy Spirit. Then, Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord makes sense. Of course I trust in God. God has already shown Himself to me and shown me, God has shown me my own self cast in His light. I see myself more clearly. I see who I am more clearly when I see myself in relation to God. I trust God. Verse 5, the command, commit your ways to God. What other way is there? When I commit my way, my life has direction. I do not just fumble along from weekend to weekend, paycheck to paycheck. My life has meaning. I am God's possession. I exist to bring God glory and help others find salvation in Jesus. But it's not because I'm a pastor. These commands, trust, delight, commit, these are extended to everyone who opens Psalm 37 and reads it as Holy Scripture. These are commands, and maybe our sense of individual autonomy maybe causes us to recoil at being directed in this way, but these commands invite us to walk in relationship with the God who loves us. The fourth command in verse 7 sets the story. If delight in the Lord is where we enter the story, then verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him, declares the world in which we live. We live at God's initiative, bound for the kingdom Jesus announced. We live for God's pleasure because we have delighted in God. Because we have delighted in God, we're ready to be still before the Lord and wait on the Lord. In the world as it is today, there's a lot of things we have to strive for and grasp and grab hold of. Go out aggressively and get a job. Work hard to be first. Be at the top of your class rankings so everyone else is below you. In a race, run to win. In securing that promotion at work, make sure you're the best because a lot of people are going for it and you want to get it. In gaining a position in line at the store, hustle up a little bit so you're not the one that's way back waiting so long in line or race to get that parking space at the hot restaurant. Competition. Our world is filled with competition, and I'm not just throwing out all competitive juices. Competition has its place, and even in the life of faith, there are times when we need to go out assertively and take initiative in our living out of our faith. But the command, be still and wait patiently for the Lord, reminds us to be balanced in our thinking. The good things that we have, the very, very best things in life, are gifts from God. We don't grab gifts, at least we shouldn't. We gratefully receive them. The kingdom of God is inherited, not taken by force. An inheritance is something we receive as a result of someone else's extreme generosity. Now listen to verse 11. The meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The meek shall inherit the land. Does that sound familiar? Jesus alluded to this verse from Psalm 37 when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. The opening section of the Sermon on the Mount, the very first verses of Matthew chapter 5, that section we call the Beatitudes. There we hear Jesus say, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." He doesn't say, "Blessed are the weak." It's not exactly the same thing. He says, "meek" with an M. We're all weak in different ways. Not a one of us is not weak. We all have weakness, and each one of us has weakness in our own unique ways. And we're all weak in the same way, in that none of us can stop sinning on our own willpower, and that sin cuts us off from God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need forgiveness. So we're all weak, but as a spiritual practice and a step of obedience, we can choose to be meek. We can walk in meekness, and we need to. We can choose to wait patiently upon the Lord, and when the Lord gives blessing, gratefully receive it and enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy this relationship with Him. Six times, the promise in Psalm 37 is that those who wait on the Lord inherit land. Their inheritance will be the land. For Jewish people in the centuries before Christ, this passage from Scripture was a literal promise of land in the land of Israel. For Christians in the centuries after the crucifixion and resurrection, this promise of inheriting the land is fulfilled in Christ. We receive Christ. Receiving Christ, we become members of the family of God, adopted as sons and daughters of God. Right now, this is the time. The promise of the land comes into ultimate fulfillment at the final resurrection, when we all join Christ, raised from death, raised in bodies that cannot be hurt or die. Then we live in eternal fellowship and love with God and with one another. But the promise, the receiving of the promise, begins now. We begin living into our inheritance, our relationship with Jesus as sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters to one another in Christ. It starts when we confess our sins and receive forgiveness and receive Jesus into our hearts and minds as Savior and Lord. As I stated at the outset, a beautiful way to take this step into your inheritance is by delighting in the Lord. And I cited some ways I do that. Early morning walks, discovering God in the Scriptures, certain songs tickling my daughter. How do you delight in the Lord? Maybe you didn't know such a thing was actually possible. It is. Let that be your quest as we near the time of communion and then the end of the worship service. Think about how in the upcoming week and in the upcoming months, in your prayer life, in your living out of the faith, you can discover new ways that all five senses can be awakened as you delight in the Lord. Walking with God can be a relationship that's real for you. Fix Psalm 37:4 as your prayer. Let that verse shape you as you dive into the beautiful pleasures of delighting in the Lord. You'll find trusting Him easier, committing your ways to Him more natural, and being still before Him will, in its own way, be pleasing. Your relationship with God will soar to new heights. You'll find being a Christian is more than just a box that we check off in the religion section on the census. Being a Christian becomes the greatest joy in life. So this week, discover ways you can delight in the Lord. Amen. As we think about how we would respond to hearing the word and preparing our hearts for communion, we're going to sing. If you'd like one of us to pray for you, we'll be at the front and the back, and you can come. Or you can come and kneel at the steps and look to the cross and pour your heart out to God, or just stay where you are singing. But we'll all respond to God's grace in this time. Would you stand as we sing together?